Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's go get it!
The guys on the inside. Green Bay football insider Michael Cohen on The Fan is brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola.
Chuck and Winkler were served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. We'll talk football from the fantasy perspective. Kevin Payne, tweet him, ask Kevin, use the hashtag at 105.7 FM, The Fan. You can also call us in about 10 minutes, 414-799-1250 from rotowire.com. We do that every Thursday, 8:35. Also on Thursdays, we talk with Michael Cohen. Is the Packers not practicing yesterday, at least not available to the media? They did not practice, did they? I didn't miss that, did I?
No, they didn't practice.
Okay. No, they did not.
All right. They'll be out there today, and we'll see more about Aaron Rodgers, of course. Michael Cohen joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Yeah, do you think Jimmy Graham was a mistake by these guys and that maybe he's lost a step or two? Was this – because we're all excited when Jimmy Graham, at least I was, and I don't know, I think Bart was on Jimmy Graham's train.
I was jacked.
Yeah, I was too. So, but was it a mistake, though?
Well, I think the two questions you posed are independent of each other. I don't think it was a mistake, but I do think he lost a step, and perhaps a step more than the Packers thought. Now, it's still early in the season, you know, plenty of time for him to get more comfortable and turn things around, but the athleticism that he showed at previous stops in his career, whether it was New Orleans or Seattle, is not there anymore, especially, you know, in the red zone. He doesn't seem to be as much of a guaranteed box out, you know, use my leaping ability and reach to jump over you kind of player that he used to be, you know, back when he had 16 touchdowns in a season. So I still think there are ways for the Packers to use him effectively. It's just maybe not exactly the type of, you know, route and concept and execution that they were expecting when they signed him. So no, I don't think it was a mistake. Because they needed another playmaker badly, and if they didn't think there was another one at the receiver position, then Graham was certainly the way to go, in my opinion. But he is also not the type of player that I think they expected when they dished out that kind of money.
Every week, Michael Cohen at The Athletic has been putting out, you've been doing a great job with this, the 10 things to analyze from each and every game. And I want to pick off some of those and talk to you about them. One would be the Davante Adams thing, Davante Adams. Clearly the number one receiver, but in this last game playing a little more in the slot and doing it really effective, is that something we can expect to see more of?
I think they should. You know, I don't know exactly if they will, but it would make sense. And, you know, like I pointed out in the story, this was something that Jordy Nelson did later in his career too, but for totally different reasons. When Jordy Nelson was moving into the slot, you know, the last couple of years he was in Green Bay, he was doing it because it allowed him to really exploit zone defenses from an interior position, finding ways to settle down in the holes, finding ways to read the coverage and take advantage of linebackers over the middle, all those types of things. With Davante Adams, it's completely different. The reason he's going in there is because with a guy that has the ability to release off the ball the way that he does, you know, so impressively and athletically, and Darius Slay said that he thinks, you know, Davante Adams and Keenan Allen are the two best players in the league when it comes to releasing off the line of scrimmage. Well, if you line up way toward one sideline, it's harder to release because the sideline becomes another defender. Obviously, you can't run out of bounds and then come back in. But if you're in the slot in the middle of the field, it gives Davante Adams the option to release to his left, the option to release to his right, and the option to release vertically up the field. And so I think with that ability to just have a three-way go, so to speak, he was just exploiting Darius Slay, who's one of the best corners in the league. And so if I was the Packers, I would continue to give him reps in that spot and maybe shift Geronimo Allison more to the perimeter, not as on a permanent basis by any means, but certainly a situational one.
I think one of the more disappointing things with watching the team this season. And this in your article, too, again, at The Athletic, Michael underscore Cohen 13 on Twitter, is Josh Jones. When they drafted him, we looked at him as a guy that, wow, he's going to be a big playmaker. He'll take over for Burnett. You know, he could play some linebacker. But when he has been out there, it's been very disappointing. I don't know if, I mean, you don't give up on this guy. Obviously, he's a second-round pick last year. But how can Josh Jones improve himself to where he is more of an impact player in this defense? Or is maybe that not something that we should expect?
Honestly, I don't know the answer to that. And, you know, the reason why has nothing to do with physical traits or gifts or anything like that. Everybody knows Josh Jones has the size, the speed, the acceleration. He's got everything you want, you know, athletically in a safety and more, honestly, given how big he is. But there's a reason he fell to the second round. And without knowing exactly what other teams were looking at in terms of their evaluations of Josh Jones, but based on what we saw on film last year, based on what we've seen this year, you have to think that it was questions about whether or not he was smart enough to play defense at the NFL level. And, you know, for some of the stories I wrote about Petten earlier in the year, back in the spring and into the summer in training camp, a number of guys said that you have to be intelligent to play the safety position in Mike Petten's defense. Now, again, that's not necessarily an end-all, be-all. Morgan Burnett had tons of issues learning Dom Capers' defense the first 3 to 4 years of his career, based on what Bob McGinn and Tom Silverstein used to tell me when I was working with them at the JS. And then obviously Morgan turned it around and became not only the most reliable guy in the back end of that defense, but also the signal caller on defense. So it doesn't mean that Josh Jones can't figure it out. It just means that I think from a mental standpoint, he's been struggling with it early on, and that's why we saw so many blown coverages last year. That's why we're seeing ridiculous penalties on special teams. And so I don't know if and when he will turn it around, but I don't think it's completely fair to write him off entirely. I just think part of the reason he's struggling is likely the reason he dropped to the second round, given all of his athletic ability, and that would be whether or not he can comprehend things at this level.
Mike McCarthy's been there since 2006. There's some who believe that after a period of time as a coach, no matter how successful, that your voice isn't heard anymore and that the shelf life expires. Now, Belichick and McCarthy have kind of defied that, but do you believe that there's a certain shelf life for coaches, or are certain coaches immune to that?
I think it probably depends on the individual. You know, I think that you have to have the right personality and makeup and sort of the right demeanor to shake off any sort of staleness or any sense of complacency. Obviously, everybody who watches Bill Belichick knows that he is far from the type to get complacent. I mean, he's more ruthless with his transactions and the way he churns his roster than anybody in the league. So I don't think there's ever been a concern that he would get stale in New England. You know, I think that part of the fact that he is also, you know, the de facto general manager of that team probably helps him. He can make whatever moves he wants when he wants to. And so that, you know, certainly would indicate to players that things are not being, you know, let alone, or things are not, you know, being allowed to sit and rot on the shelf, because he can make whatever moves he wants, you know, on the fly, on a whim, whatever he's feeling. I think with other coaches, there's probably more of a likelihood to go stale just because they don't have that same roster authority, and they don't necessarily have the ability to shake things up even if they want to. I don't know what the situation is with the Packers. You know, it certainly doesn't seem as if it's, you know, there aren't blatantly obvious signs that it's going stale in terms of players seeming to not listen, or players, you know, starting to poke holes or question some of his motives or some of his the things that he's doing. We haven't gotten to that point yet, but it's definitely something to monitor as the season goes on.
Yeah, do you see any signs that McCarthy's got the, I mean, not what Belichick has got, but you know, where he's able to reinvent and keep things fresh like Bill does in New England?
Well, I mean, he changed basically his entire coaching staff this offseason, and they redid the playbook from the ground up. So I would think that that would count as somebody not sitting on their laurels and just saying, well, exactly what I had last year is going to be fine going into this year. So, I mean, it's hard to say from a schematic standpoint, because I'm not smart enough to answer the question in that way. But certainly when it came to the things that he can control, which is, you know, primarily his coaching staff, he made tons of changes this offseason, which to me would suggest that he wasn't okay with just being content with what he had.
Michael, we'll talk to you more tomorrow after we see what happens today at practice. Should we expect Rodgers? Do we have any indication, or is that we won't know until we see it?
I would guess that he would practice today, having an extra day off from Sunday. I don't know. I mean, the knee thing to me is I just don't see it as that big of a factor in terms of his play right now. I mean, I know that he can't scramble around and make all kinds of plays like he used to, but in the season opener against Chicago, when he came back in the second half, he made all kinds of throws in rhythm, you know, on time, finding open receivers, and that was, you know, in the very first moments after the injury happened. So in theory, when it was at its worst with no time to heal, I think there have been other problems in the weeks since then. And, you know, you look at some of the mistakes he made against the Lions, it would be a very stretched argument to say that some of the missed throws, some of the times when he's ignored open receivers, you know, holding the ball 5, 6, 7 seconds, you'd really have to stretch your argument to say that that was influenced by the knee. And I don't think it was. And even Devontae Adams said that he doesn't notice any difference with Rodgers in terms of the knee. He said he might be sore and he might be, you know, feeling it a little bit, but it hasn't changed anything that we're doing on offense. So I don't buy that as a viable excuse for his poor performance. And I think the bottom line is he's just been poor the last two games.
We'll find out what happens today. We'll talk to you about it tomorrow, 8:20. Michael, always appreciate it, and we will talk then.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, see you guys.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.